it's good to be with you this morning. And I trust that you realize that the author of that last song that we sang, she knew her God. She looked forward, Fanny Crosby, as she penned those words, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? She had a realization of who God was. And I can only imagine when she saw her Savior for the first time. It's good to be here with you. And good to have some fellowship with the Plikards last night. And believe it or not, Google does tell the correct and gives you the correct directions. We had an experience in November of last year where Google took us on a wild goose chase through the mountains of Vermont and New Hampshire. So that left me guessing a little bit. But we've counted the privilege to be here with you and look forward to meeting those of you that I didn't get to meet during the handshaking time or before. But we just want to be a blessing to you this morning and encourage your hearts as you're trusting and you're praying as to who God would have you to have as your next shepherd. Well, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to a very familiar text, Matthew chapter 28, passage that the Lord has, I've been preaching in our church back in Illinois. And it's a passage that we are often familiar with, are we not? There are millions of or hundreds of ships that have been commissioned throughout the course of time. And you take a ship and you have it built to specifications and you take that ship and how do they normally christen it? They take that wine bottle and on the rope, that's what I've always heard, and they let it go and it smashes on the bow and that sets off the crowd and the band plays. And pretty soon they're letting that ship go out of the dry dock and it's on its way. It has been commissioned into the service, whether that be of our country or whether it be a freight liner, whether it may be some other little tiny vessel. But the reality is each and every one of us have been commissioned. You see, when I was 6 years of age, I heard a message by an evangelist, actually he was a missionary, to the people of Iraq. His name was Sammy Kanani. And Sammy Kanani came to our church there in Minnesota on a cold winter evening, and as he was preaching the message, of all the topics he preached on, was heaven and a place where we don't even talk about anymore. Hell. And as he preached that message, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my need of a personal Savior. And as I went home that evening, my mother knew something was wrong. She said, "Do you need to talk about something?" And I said, "I certainly do. I need to know more about Jesus." She told me more about Jesus. We went through the Romans Road and how he suffered and how he bled and how he died and how the penalty for sin is death, eternal separation from God forever. And then as she came to Romans 10, if you're familiar with that passage, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you want to do that, David? Yes, I do. I bowed there in our living room and I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. From that point on in my life, I was commissioned into Christian service. Not because I grew up in a pastor's home. Not because we had missionaries that stayed with us or evangelists that would come from time to time. But it was a commissioning. Each one of us have been commissioned if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Look at our text, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. It says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And here's the commissioning. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Or in the Greek language, it's the word age. Long period of time. So it doesn't matter whether you are 6 years old, as I was, or whether you're 85 years old, or older than that. You have been commissioned, and we want to look this morning at the commissioning. We secondly want to look at the what compels us to fulfill the commission. And then we will conclude with the compassion. But let's look this morning. It says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore." Those of you that have studied Greek, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it literally reads this way, "having gone therefore." The assumption is that you are going, that you are being involved in a commissioning ministry, and that commissioning ministry is telling others about Christ. Because it says, "Having gone already, make disciples of all nations." Make disciples. Well, how are we going to make disciples? You've got factories around here. We drove through Delphus yesterday. And they make different things. I work in a factory myself. We make long cables. We make transformers. We make a number of different things. So do you put them together? Do you put it together piece by piece? Well, that sort of is the way. But I want to focus this morning on the commissioning. The word is go. Having gone. But who is to go? Who is it that the command is given to go? What does your Bible say? I know you may have a different translation. It might say you. My Bible reads ye. But that's still talking about us. It's still talking about the local church. It's talking about churches, fundamental churches around the world, missionaries that are going and they're sharing the gospel. Go ye, therefore, into all the world, as Christ put it in Mark chapter 16. He said this in Acts chapter 1, "And ye shall be witnesses." He was talking to his disciples, but he was talking to you in your pew this morning. "Go ye, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in the Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world." What is your Jerusalem this morning? I know there's different pastors, evangelists that define that different ways, but I'm going to define it this way. Your Jerusalem should be your family. Your Judea should be maybe your relatives. Then your Samaria would be your co-workers. And the uttermost part of the world, well, that answers itself. Go ye and make disciples. Who is it that's commissioning us? Christ. Christ has commissioned us. Now, this is the Christ who suffered, he bled, he died, he rose again, he was buried, and he rose again the third day that we might go, that we might be his witnesses. We've got a message to share. The hymn writer put it this way, we've a story to tell to the nations. And it goes on. That story is of a Savior. And as we talked about in Sunday school, that Savior's alive. That Savior did something for me, and he did something for you, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, that no one else could do. If you know him, if you received him as your Savior, he took you from a plight of woe, a penalty of eternal separation, and he has given you a new life. Psalmist David put it this way, he lifted me out of a horrible pit, where all the noise was surrounding me and it was driving me insane. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my going. So if you believe that you have a message, if you believe that Christ has commissioned you, then shouldn't you go? Will you tarry? God has given each and every one of us a person. Or persons that we have been compelled to reach. Just in the past few weeks, I have challenged our people to name some people in the community, in their lives. Who will you invite to church? Church doesn't save anybody. But if you bring them into church where they can hear the gospel, getting them here is the first step. You can give them a witness. You can share them with them your testimony of how God saved you, but maybe that's not what God will use. Maybe it's a message. Maybe it's a Sunday school lesson. Will you be faithful in inviting that individual or those individuals to come and to share in the message that you have been burdened with? Our second point this morning is not found in Matthew chapter 28. It's found in 2 Corinthians. So you have been commissioned by Christ. Secondly, we are compelled by love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 says this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." There's the commission. We're not to live for ourselves. We're not to please ourselves. But we're to please the one who has commissioned us. "We should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." But notice with me the words, "love of Christ." We know what love is, don't we? How many would say love this morning is a mushy feeling? Husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, they get mushy. They have love. How many of you would say this morning that love is something that family has for one another? You love your brother, you love your sister. Even though, you know what, as parents, we realize when they're bickering back and forth, we think, boy, what will they turn out to be? They really have a love for one another. You know, when they get to be 20, 24, hopefully they won't be fighting anymore. But the love that's mentioned here in our passage is a self-sacrificial love. It took a holy God to come from heaven to lower himself, to be made in the form of a man, and then to take him and hang on a tree, which was the cruelest form of punishment that anybody could ever endure. And as he was hanging there, and as he had been tortured, as we talked about in Sunday school, it was love that held him there. Do you remember the soldiers that walked by, mocking him? Hey, if you really be the Christ, come down from the cross. Why don't you do this? Prove to us your power. Prove to us that you're a king. But love kept him nailed there. Even when those malefactors or those common criminals were nailed beside him and they were hanging there, and they began to ridicule him, the one on the one side and the one on the other. Then the one on this side said, whoa, wait a minute. What has this man done? Nothing. We rightfully deserve to be hanging here because of the crimes which we have committed. This man did nothing. Lord, remember me when I come into your kingdom. And what was Christ's words to him? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was the love that we're talking about. It's the love that we share with one another. It's the love that, you know, when somebody comes into church, and you're not supposed to talk about dressing church, are you? Doesn't matter how anybody comes. We love them. We accept them just as they are. Even if they come in short shorts and they... Uh-oh, stepping on toes. No. We love them. And as I was taught in seminary and at the church that I was attending down at Bob Jones, you love them so much that when they come in the door, that by the time they leave, they want to change. Because the type of love that we are constrained with is God's love. The highest kind of love in the word is agape. Agape love. That love which will not take no for an answer. That love that will be giving over and over and over again until somebody, even if somebody hurts us, we still love them. We are compelled by this love because of what Christ did on our behalf. So you see, we are commissioned by Christ. We're compelled by the love of Christ. And then third this morning, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35, a very familiar passage again. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know what? You live in the midst of an agricultural community here. I've seen corn. I've seen beans growing up. Same thing in Illinois. Some of you, your livelihood depends on that. You're farmers. If your crop does well, you can afford things. If it doesn't do so well, that's where insurance comes in, right? No, that's where God comes in. You live in the midst of an agricultural community, though, and you plant in the spring, and usually you plant by April, maybe May, and you say, well, okay, we'll harvest in October, or maybe in some cases it's November. How many months is that? 4. There, 5? Okay, I saw 5. Thank you. I can't count. You expect during that time after you've planted that seed in the ground for it to grow and to mature and to bear fruit. Corn bears corn. Beans bears beans. Wheat grows wheat. But the urgency is upon us, folks. We live in a world which, if you read the paper or you watch the news, it's getting worse and worse. I read a staggering statistic. 57% of homes today across the nation of America don't have a father. Single moms are having to take on that role which was meant to be shared. And we as a church have to reach into that. You reach into a home where the mom and dad have separated over a period of years. They're divorced. Folks, the harvest is not 4 months out. Or 5 months. Harvest is now. The harvest, we're commissioned to go into the field now. And that we may reap the fruit which has been sown. Christ sharing with his disciples expressed the compassion in Matthew chapter 9. And again, we are familiar with that passage. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And don't we do that? If I were to ask you to raise your hands, if you pray for your missionaries on a regular basis, If you pray for your evangelist friends on a regular basis, you're doing your part of the Great Commission, aren't you? No. That's part of it. praying for our missionaries. That's part of it, that they would have the power, that they would have the funding, that God would supply the support for them. But we are to go. It doesn't just stop at praying. Unless you're praying this prayer. Lord, send me. Wherever. To do whatever. However you want it to be accomplished. For your glory. Isaiah came face to face with the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6. And after having been cleansed by the angel bringing that coal off the altar, there was a question that was asked the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah replied, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." So as you're sitting there in your pew this morning, you realize that you've been commissioned by Christ. You're compelled by love. And folks, we have a compassion to share. Because there's a needy world out there. Whatever aspect, whatever job you have, whatever ministry you're involved with here in the church, you have been commissioned to go. Now, will you obey that commission? Will you surrender to God's call? Or will you stay cold and silent in that pew and say, "I'll pray for my missionaries. Amen, Pastor. Lord, bless them as they go. I'll give in the offering plate." Commissioned by Christ. Compelled by love, with a compassion to share. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. The message is heavy upon our hearts for a lost, a dying world who needs to know Christ. Lord, I pray that you would take the message. Use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.